The buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's overtime with William Pattison, Dawson Wise, and Jace Brown joining you on a Thursday in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's draft day, boys.
Yes.
First round of the NFL draft tonight. Two big games in the NBA. I guess you could say three if you're a Magic or Cavs fan, but two big games in the NBA as well. Bad day to not be a sports fan. A lot going on in the sports world. We love it. An update today for the Tennessee basketball team, a new transfer portal addition. We'll dive into that when we begin. But we'll also talk about the draft, some of the biggest storylines. Who should the Commanders take it to? Who has the higher ceiling between Drake May and Jaden Daniels? We'll cover it all. And as always, we'll give our best bets at the end of the hour. So stick with us over the next 2 hours as we get you ready for tonight's draft special, the Fan Run War Room. We're doing a little bit of double duty today. We're going to be here for a good bit, but we are very excited. And let's get right into it. First things first, presented by the 37 Club, which provides access to unique content, exclusive events, private communities, and special discounts on Fan Run merchandise. Join on fanrunradio.com today. And today's first things first topic is Akpara commits to the Vols. University of Tennessee head men's basketball coach Rick Barnes announced Thursday the signing of forward Felix Akpara, a transfer from Ohio State. One of the nation's premier rim protectors, Akpara will join the Volunteers this upcoming season with 2 years of college eligibility remaining. When asked about how he feels about Akpara, he said, quote, "We are thrilled to have Felix join us here on Rocky Top. He comes from a great family and is an exceptional teammate whose primary goal is to win." Barnes went on to say Felix is an elite shot blocker, high-level defender, and a terrific rebounder. He possesses the ability to score in the low post as well as play on the perimeter. A mobile athlete with excellent length who creates space offensively, Felix is a consistent threat to get to the rim for a lob. He will do everything we can to help further him in his development in all aspects of the game. Rick Barnes, very excited to have him on board. I think we all are. Akpara is a 6'11", 235-pound forward, center, whatever you want to call it, whatever position you want to put him in, comes to Tennessee after Ohio State, where he played a couple seasons there, 70 total games, 45 starts, averaged 5.3 points, 5 rebounds, and 1.8 blocks per contest. Also shot an outstanding 58.6% from the field throughout his tenure as a Buckeye, scoring in double figures 12 times and grabbing double-digit rebounds 7 times, and blocked 3-plus shots in 19 games, compiling 2 double-doubles. So this is a very talented guy. Out of Link Academy in Missouri, now did spent some time in Tennessee at Hamilton Heights in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. So kind of returning, making a return back to the TriStar State, very similar to Dubar, who was also playing for B. Mays here in Knoxville. So a couple of guys coming back in to the TriStar State. Very excited to have them both. My reaction to Akpara committing, not a big surprise. I think we've kind of seen this coming. Made his visit on Tuesday. Very quick turnaround to committing, so that's a pretty good turn of events there.
Yeah.
So I think Akpara gives you something that Tennessee lacked last year, and that's an interior defensive presence, an elite shot blocker, and a guy that you can match up against with some of these really talented bigs you'll play in the SEC and also later on in the tournament. We saw it this year. You know, Jonas Adu is a great player, all SEC second team guy, but really struggled against some of the better bigs. Tolu Smith, Zach Edey, Armando Bacot, Hunter Dickinson, and those guys are all very, very good. Adu was just not able to match up with them. Akpara now gives you the ability to match up with some of the best. That's my reaction to it. I think it's a great addition. Dawson, what was yours?
I think it is too. Sigh of relief is what I wrote down, because you needed to replace this massive void. Adu and Awaka leaving the portal. You needed this in particular, a center, and it's going to be great to have a second guy. Estrella is going to be great. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. Mm. He's going to be awesome, But you need more than just him. He's not able to do it alone. And especially at a position where we've talked about how thin the Vols have been at this position for the last really couple years. This helps create some more depth, gives you a solid starter, a guy that's been there and done that in the starting role in college basketball, and helps give you some confidence at that center position again. It's also, for me, great to see Barnes continue to adapt not only to modern college basketball and raid the transfer portal really on a higher level now than he has before, but also adapt to what the team's weaknesses are. You know, say, okay, we need a center. That's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to go get a center. Mm. We needed a four. Went and got a four. You need a guard? You're working on that.
Yeah,
but you know, to see him adapt this quickly and say, okay, I know what we need. We're going to go out and get it, and get it quickly. We want to get this done so we have that gap filled. And look, the Vols struggled last year with the lack of that bruiser. We talked about, you know, the bigs that went against Tennessee. Obviously, Zach Edey and Kalkbrenner and guys like that, and also Tolu Smith and B.J. Mack in the SEC. So we lacked that defensive presence that could block shots and go up and get rebounds. Okpara gives you all of those things. Really great. Kind of came out of left field. I mean, not a guy that I think a lot of us had our eyes on early in this process, but very satisfying nonetheless to fill that gap and love to see what he's going to bring to this team.
Yeah, to add some depth to that, like you said, that little skimpy center room, if you would call it that, was pretty big. Finding a guy that can work in and out with Estrella, I think that's going to be huge, not only on the offensive side, but like y'all have said, on the defensive end. He's a shot blocker. He's lengthy. He can get it done against the better bigs. At least it seems like he has been able to, so I think it's going to translate well over. I think another thing is his experience. He's played 70 games and started 45. I mean, that's something that adds to that repertoire that is just, you know, so necessary at that position, especially in the SEC, where, you know, you're going up against some of these older guys that have been through the trenches of the SEC. You know, you'll get some of these talented young guys thrown in there, like an Estrella, who's going to be there this year. But beyond that, it's usually some long-tenured guys, and I think bringing him in, you know, with all, you know, the miles on his legs and experience at such a high level at Ohio State is going to be big. And like you were saying, Dawson, it feels like Rick Barnes has really found his footing in the transfer portal. You know, some teams are still trying to adapt. We talked about it with Coach Calipari not being able to take that step in this new age of college basketball and college athletics in general. It feels like Rick Barnes has always been a step ahead. He gets what he needs, and then he'll also find some guys that, you know, might turn into splash players like a Dalton Connect. We didn't know what he was going to be coming out of Northern Colorado. He turns out to be what is probably going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. So I think that's just another, you know, notch on his resume, just to be able to find guys like that in the portal.
Yeah, on the year, Okpara, per CBB reference, posted 4 blocks and 3.8 rebounds, offensive rebounds, that is, per 40 minutes, along with a 10.4 block percentage, and that's number 18th among players with 500-plus minutes on the year, with an 11.1 offensive rebound percentage. Okpara finished the second year with the Buckeyes in the Big Ten, and number 11 in the country in blocks per game, with 8 of the 10 players above him logging more minutes per contest. So Okpara, when he's in the game, very efficient, makes his impact felt early on. Now going to what he adds to this roster, kind of what we all talked about, that enforcer, right? That guy that you can match up defensively with, that's going to be an elite shot blocker, that's going to add just an opposing presence down low, which is something that Tennessee lacked last year. Now you have Okpara in a certain situation where you're getting eaten alive in the paint. You can throw Okpara in there, and boom, now you have an elite-level defender down low, and that really helps the Vols well-round their team a lot better, because I think that was the biggest gaping hole on this past year's team, that they were missing that guy, like a Juroš Plašević that we've had for the last couple of years. You were missing that this past year. Now you get Okpara, he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, defensively, big-time shot blocker, big-time rebounder, different from the usual Rick Barnes center target. You know, usually the finesse guy, quite the opposite, a bruiser, yeah, which you needed, can body up with opposing centers, can be that physical presence, that physical enforcer down low, make it tough for those guys to rack up points because, you know, look at how often, you know, Tolu Smith, B.J. Mack, Zach Edey, again, we go back to those guys, had big nights because we just didn't have the defensive presence to match up well down low. It helps shores up that. It helps shores up rebounding as well, something that the team struggled with last year. Offensively, is going to be a rim scorer, a guy that can catch a lob from what I've seen in film, a guy that's going to just cut to the basket and catch those down low passes, lay it in, dunk it in, you know, kind of be that guy that scores right around the cup. I think the more important thing he'll do offensively is create spacing, because now you don't have to commit a Dubar, a Milicic, a Ziegler to the basket. You can have those guys space out, shoot mid-ranges, shoot three-pointers, because he's going to have the paint locked down. Okpara is going to be able to do all your scoring in the paint. You can open up that space and help the offense flow, make some more creative decisions on offense as well.
Yeah, I think the big thing here, like y'all have been hitting on, is the boost on the interior defense. We know what Adu was able to do this year on the block shot side of things. I mean, he averaged like 2.1 this year, was on that all-SEC defensive team, which is no slouch at all. But, you know, you get a guy that has the intangibles of, you know, not backing down, like you said, Dawson, not being so much of a finesse guy, but more of a go-getter sort of bulldog, you know, stick your face in it and hold it down. I think that's going to be something that he can do pretty well. Sorry for the wording there, but you know he sort of feels like he's going to step into that Tobe Awaka, I guess, role where he might come off the bench, he might start, but he's going to be somebody that's going to grab you some boards when you need it. He's going to muscle up against these more talented bigs, and he's not going to back down away from it. And you know, on the offensive end, sort of like an Awaka, going to be a little bit one dimensional, but like you said, offers some spacing, allows for guys to get open while he's also roaming the paint, grabbing offensive boards. I still think it's on the offensive end, it's still a plus.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that wording. I'm not like, now that you said Tobe Awaka, it kind of makes sense. That kind of bulldog mentality.
What's Akpar about to do to people? Stick their face? What?
I don't think we should go back and repeat it. Yeah, I was just saying that I like the word.
I was just rolling off the dome, and it sounded right.
Well, all right, moving on. One of the questions I've talked about over the past couple of days with a couple, you know, my friend and people that follow the team is the decision between Akpara and J.P. Estrella as a starter. Now, we had Justin Gainey on the drive when I was filling in for Russell, and one of the questions I asked was about J.P. Estrella. Is he going to be able to take that next jump? And Coach Gainey was, you know, went on and on about J.P., talking about his offensive ability, that he was already one of the more talented offensive bigs on the team last year. Now, might have been a little bit of a stray to the guy that just left, but you know, you think about what he can do in an off season, right? Back in the weight room, back in the gym, working on some things. Do you think J.P. Estrella could be that starter, or is it Akpara? I've gone back and forth. I originally said Estrella after what I heard Coach Gainey say. Now, I'm sure he'd go on and on about Akpara too. But when I think about it, I think you get more offense with Estrella. It depends on what kind of lineup you're trying to throw out there. I guess if you wanted a guy like Akpar to kind of middle out all the offense, you know, with Dubar and you know, Ziegler and Gainey and then, you know, hopefully Jazz Lanier as well.
Right.
You know, would you put Akpar down there to have a defensive mind down low, or do you roll with Estrella, the guy who's had a really good year as the year went on this past season, and now give him a whole offseason to get even better? Who do you think should be the starter? I say Estrella, but a lot of people don't agree.
It feels like it's going to be Akpara, no matter what we may think, because of his experience. I think mm-hmm. Estrella, to me, doesn't quite have that experience yet to be in that point. You know, I think Estrella could gradually work his way into that spot. I think that's something you could see develop throughout the year. You know how we saw Estrella more and more and more throughout the year. I think he could do that again this year. See, okay, well, he's playing backup minutes. Okay, about halfway through the season, now he can transition into being the starter. He's had Akpara there to mentor him, and he's able to transition into that role. But with the significant starting experience, it's hard not to start that bruising defensive presence in Akpara. And, look, you don't want to rush Estrella into that role. Right. That was my biggest thing when I was thinking about it, is it would be so detrimental to his career to just thrust him into this role and kind of throw him in the fire, especially playing in the Southeastern Conference and playing a non-conference like Rick Barnes likes to play, a very tough non-conference mm-hmm. schedule. It would be tough on his career to throw him into this spot. Let him keep developing at the pace he's going right now, keep getting him prepared, and not trying to develop him faster than he needs to develop. I just say, you know, let it work out. If he's the starter by game five, cool. If he's a starter in halfway through the season, all right, cool. That works too.
Yeah. It is such an intriguing question to ask, because, like you said, like we've talked about, he's got so much experience bringing in, and, you know, averaging a good like 25 minutes a game this past season, not being so big on the offensive end, but still being such a huge presence on the defensive end. I think with the way that college basketball is going and how this Rick Barnes team was last year, I think I would still probably lean a little bit towards Estrella. I think his versatility on the offensive end is something to look forward to if I'm Rick Barnes. I've heard rumors that, you know, Estrella is one of the guys that, you know, sort of like a Waka, can be a little bit of a finesse guy, some big that can shoot a little bit. And I think adding that and keeping that in the regime, I guess, on the offensive end is something that I would look forward to. I think with JP, I think him still being young, being able to develop on the defensive end, I think that's something, like you said, Dawson, where, you know, if he was to throw Akpar out there, he can develop there and eventually grow into that starting role. I would sort of like to see him early season out there against maybe some like the lesser opponents like a Tennessee Tech.
That's
or like
fair,
a,
yeah.
Like one of those random squads like that. Get him out there, get him roughed up a little bit, I guess, to start out. But, you know, if like you said, if you're halfway through and one of these guys either way isn't taking over or setting themselves apart from the other, test the waters a little bit. Throw some different looks out there. I think Coach Barnes will get it figured out. Still would like to see Estrella out there day one.
On three, tabs Akpar as the number 27 player in the transfer portal, including sixth among centers, while 24/7 Sports lists Akpar as 35th overall and eighth best at the center position. He's the third newcomer headed to Rocky Top this upcoming season, joining prep guard Bishop Boswell and Hofstra transfer guard Darlin Stone Dubar, who just committed last week. What grade would you give the current class of incoming Vols? I'd say it's a B. You get a need, an Akpara, a guy that's a bruiser, defensively minded. You get a replacement for Josiah Jordan James, a very crafty four, and Darlin Stone Dubar, a guy that can put up, very good off the catch and shoot. Maybe not a guy off the dribble, but hopefully, you know, here in the coming days, we'll add a guy that can do that. And then Bishop Boswell, I think it's really important in this day and age to continue to bring guys out of the high school level, because so many people now are so focused on, okay, who's in the transfer portal? Who can we go get? Bishop Boswell could be very well be a guy that's here for, 3 to 4 years. And that's, creating a foundation for your teams to come. So I don't know if Boswell is going to be ready to take that backup point guard role. I really think that Meshack will try and take that on, because we saw a little bit of that last year, or 2 years ago, I should say, when ZZ went down with his injury. But if Boswell's ready for the moment, then maybe he's that backup guard. Right now, I'd give it a B. If a guy by the name of Chaz Lanier joins us in a week, then it's an A for me.
Yeah, B minus is what I wrote down. B is solid as well. You've done almost everything you wanted to do. You're bringing in a decent high school class. You're bringing in a guy like Bishop Boswell. We expect to eventually be a contributor. You went and got a bruising center, filled that void. You filled Josiah Jordan James's void at the four. You got a ton of size and shooting depth. You get a guy like Milicic as well that you're bringing in. And really, the only other two main things that we had talked about were a wing player, a true wing player,
yeah,
and a guard, another guard, a shooting guard, like an electric scoring guard.
Yeah.
Chaz Lanier.
If you can get one or the other, and I was going to allude to that, I think it vaults this to a B+, A-. If you can get Chaz Lanier, then I think that vaults this class to an even higher, because you've done almost everything you wanted to do, and the level of production you've got coming in is great offensively. Mm-hmm. You're shoring up rebounding, and you got the bruiser in the defense. You did everything right.
Yeah, I also had B written down, like y'all have hit on. You get length on both ends of the court in defense. Replacing Josiah Jordan James with Dubar is huge. Being able to replace, the defensive effectiveness of both Awaka and Adu with a guy like Akpara is huge for that center room. But on the offensive end, you're sort of taking a little bit of a step back down at the center. But that's something that's obviously can be worked on, whether you throw in Akpara or Estrella down there at the five. So I think with that being down there, I think it's good on that end. You get a scorer in Dubar that's pretty efficient on the offensive end. I don't think he'll be nearly as efficient as we saw Dalton Connect be, but you still get a step up in that category just because of volume for Josiah Jordan James last year wasn't as high as we've seen it be. And beyond that, it does still feel like we are needing some depth at the guard. Bishop Boswell, it's going to be another freshman year here. We didn't really see too much from Freddie this past year. I'm not sure if we're going to, like you said, if we're going to see too many minutes from him. But, you know, if he's able to get in and get some quality minutes and Tennessee is able to retain him for longer than just a season like we like they were able to with Freddie, I think it could be a positive. But like you said, if you can get a splash move like Chaz Lanier and get another like top-tier scorer to go along with Dubar, who's very efficient from the field, I think it does bump it up to an A, if not an A+, because you check off all the boxes.
So now kind of looking at what's next for Tennessee, Kay Tyson, I think that avenue has left. I think he'll go to UNC. Now an update today out of the portal with Chaz Lanier, a crystal ball has been given for Tennessee to pick up Lanier. And also it's important to note he entered the transfer portal with a no contact tag on, meaning he already knows where he's going. So the only other guy, and Milicic has yet to officially commit, but I think they're kind of working out some stuff with him. You know, being from Croatia, you got to kind of, you know, there's some, I don't know, business to be done. We'll just say that.
Right.
There's some business to be done there. So I expect both of them to both join Tennessee. And after that, I really don't think there's anything else you need. Now, there's a guy out of Central Arkansas that's been named. I can't remember his name. And last name of Anderson. And I think he's another two or a three. But that's not really a backup point guard that you're looking for. The other problem is it's hard to recruit a backup in the transfer portal, right? Because you got so many guys that are being offered to be a starter or a big role at their next destination. Now, Tennessee is a really good destination to go to. But in the day and age where everyone is so bundled up with NIL and all the incentives, it's very hard to, you know, tell a guy, we want you to come here and be our backup point guard, right? So I don't know if you're going to be able to get one of those, but I think if you get Lanier and if you get Milicic, I think you're in good business. And those are really the only two guys that we know are most likely going to join and the most likely guys that will join.
Yeah, the guy you're talking about is ASUN freshman of the year, Tucker Anderson.
Tucker Anderson, Arkansas, yes.
14.5 points per game, 4 rebounds per game on 38% shooting from 3.
Yeah. Anderson is a guy that's been floated around, but I think now if you add Lanier and Milicic, you got one scholarship opportunity left after that, but I don't think Anderson would really have a place to fit in here.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to, you know, these guys are coming out of the portal to go be the mainstays at another program, right? You know,
right.
Leaving the A-Sun for a reason. And again, Tennessee's a really good destination for anyone, right? But it's hard for these guys to leave their current location where they're the guy and then be the, you know, seventh or eighth guy at another school.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Those are only two other guys I think we could add. Who do you say? Or do you agree?
I didn't have anybody specifically written down because I don't think there's anything else that you can go get at this point where a guy's going to say, well, look at all these other guys you got. I don't really want to go to that. I want to go be a star somewhere. So for me, if you add Lanier, I think that's a pretty complete class.
Yeah, I agree because, like, if you get past Lanier and you're still trying to add some folks, I mean, you're getting, like, 10, 11, 12 guys deep at this point that, you know, are going to be, like, prying and trying to get, you know, time on the court, which is just not going to happen on a consistent basis. I mean, you want to keep that rotation about, like, how it was this year for the Vols, where it's about 8 or 9 guys flowing in and flowing out, and you know it feels like a consistent group where everybody sort of knows their role while no matter who else is on the court alongside with them. I think if you go beyond that like 10 or 11 guy rotation, especially at the start of the season, it really starts to get a little bit murky.
Yeah. All right, well, the draft day is here. When we come back, we will break it all down. Who should go at 2? Who has the higher ceiling? All the answers, or I guess all the questions will be answered when we return here on Overtime.
When it's past high noon, it's time for a vodka soda made with a vodka you've actually heard of. I'm talking White Claw vodka soda made with White Claw premium vodka. JB Smooth only drinks vodka soda made with the world's smoothest vodka.
And you can too. Pick you up a bottle of the Triple Wave filtered vodka that's been distilled 5 times. White Claw premium vodka comes in 4 flavors. Black cherry, mango, pineapple, and just vodka. You haven't had vodka like this. No one has. White Claw premium vodka. Please drink responsibly.
Citizens National. Life is more fun with a Good Life checking account, offering extra benefits, including bank travel. Join us for a trip to Mackinac Island for a stay at the beautiful Grand Hotel. Travel with us to southern Utah to witness the enormous, colorful, and unusual rock formations. Or join us on one of our many day trips. We're always on the go.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Rev up your savings at Volunteer Auto Group, your one-stop destination for quality vehicles at unbeatable prices. Cruise through their vast selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the flexible financing options that make it easy for you to drive home today. Volunteer Auto Group, where every deal's a winner. 1501 Callahan Drive. Check them out online at volauto.com and tell them Fan Run sent you.
Are you tired of the same boring workouts that don't get you the results that you want? Check out HotWorks. With infrared light therapy and personalized wellness options, you'll be able to get the perfect workout every time. With the hot yoga or any of the other isometric options at HotWorks, you'll feel the detoxification right away. Hop on over to 10839 Hardin Valley Road or visit any of the other Knoxville locations to get started on your personalized journey.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
Blackford Veterinary Surgery Referral specializes in surgeries not regularly performed by your pet's general veterinarian and currently accepts referrals from vets all across the country. With their newly renovated state-of-the-art surgery center and their highly trained staff, clients can rely on professional and thorough care. If your vet says that your pet needs surgery or rehabilitation, ask for a referral to Blackford Vet and let them get your best friend back on its feet. Located conveniently in West Knoxville. For more information, visit BlackfordVetSurgery.com.
Back here on Overtime on a Thursday, just about an hour and 30 minutes away from the beginning of the NFL draft. Make sure to stick around after our show is over at 8 p.m. We have the Fan Run Radio War Room as we break down, give our reactions and analysis to the selections in tonight's draft. I'll be on it. Dawson will be on it. Jace will be watching from home.
Unfortunately,
he'll be calling in as well. So yeah, we'll all be on there, and it'll be a great time. You can watch it on a YouTube stream. We've got it all going today. It's not going to be on terrestrial radio, but you can make sure to follow on the social media accounts to stay up to date with ways to watch. Let's get into the draft now. So former USC quarterback and 2022 Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams will likely become the number one pick of the draft by the Chicago Bears, but there are plenty of questions outside of that. Who should be taken at number two? Who out of the quarterbacks of Drake May and Jane Daniels has the bigger ceiling? We're going to answer all these questions as we go on. But we'll begin with this. What are the expectations for the first round tonight? Because I think there are five quarterbacks that I think could be taken tonight. And Michael Penix, Bo Nix, obviously Caleb Williams, Drake May, or I guess really
six. The big ones.
Yeah, yeah. Six. You could see six quarterbacks called tonight. I don't know if we'll see more than five, because I think every year there's one out of the group that ends up falling out. Yeah. Now, there are a lot more teams this year kind of looking for quarterbacks or in the gray area, like the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, do they stick with Aiden O'Connell? Do they take their chance on Bo Nix or Michael Penix? Do they trade up? The New York Giants, do they stick with Daniel Jones, who sucks? Or do they go try and find an opportunity elsewhere?
Well, we know your answer on that one.
Well, I hate to be blunt, but, you know. The Denver Broncos, Zach Wilson, another quarterback that sucks. They bring him in. Do they go look at another quarterback? And the Vikings, you know, the departure of Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold's there, who I do like. I do like Sam Darnold.
Oh, there you go.
No stray to him. But there are a lot of teams in the realm for a quarterback. How many go? And who's going to be that slider? Last year was Will Levis. You know, the infamous, you know, he's got like five girls with him and sitting in the green room. Looked like he was actually having a good time. I don't think he wanted to be drafted. He had all these tens around him.
He enjoyed the green room.
I think that might have been his family.
Well, but I can give that opinion, though. I mean,
that's fair.
He can't go out and say that, but no. I can't. You know? So, anyway, lots to look for. My expectation, though, is that we're not going to see more than five quarterbacks. I think five is the max, and I think one out of Bo Nix or Michael Penix bounces to the second round.
I have a few expectations. Top heavy with offense is the first thing. This is pretty obvious. The big commodity is going to be those quarterbacks. We expect to see some trades. The top three receivers are going to occupy a lot of the interest tonight. And then the offensive tackles as well. I mean, Joe Alt and a couple others that are going to go up towards the top of the list. A few of those other options, you know, Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, guys that are going to be further down the board, but again, a very top-heavy offensive first round. Then you have some sneaky defensive pieces on the back end. This is one of the few times that I kind of remember the first round, the back half of the first round being so interesting because a lot of these defensive guys, these very talented defensive guys, are going to fall down the board. Guys like Chop Robinson, guys like Darius Robinson, Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, and others, Jerzon Newton, are going to fall way down the board because of how top-heavy the offense is. Latu as well from UCLA, Murphy, and so many others, all could be selected from 16 on back tonight, which really makes it a full must-watch for the entire 32 picks because of where those guys are going to fall. So the defensive guys, there's going to be some really sneaky good players drafted in the back half of tonight's first round. And then the trade talks. I've heard a lot of people saying that the draft really starts with my Arizona Cardinals at number four. Because those top three are going to take quarterbacks, the draft would then start at four with a decision to either trade or take presumably Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four. From there, there's been discussions from picks four through 13. I mean, any of those picks could be traded tonight. Any of those teams could move. A lot of moving pieces, especially since teams are waiting. I mean, the Cardinals, Monty Austinfort, the GM for the Cardinals, said today, they are not making a move until the Cardinals' name comes up on the draft board and we are on the clock. So a lot of moving pieces, a lot of fast-moving pieces. That's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of trades tonight as well.
Yeah, you hit it a ton already. It's going to be a big offensive night, like you said. We have a chance to see six quarterbacks off the board, which is an insane number, especially, you know, with how many recent, you know, top, like, high-quality QBs have come through in the last four or five draft classes. It's really a little bit alarming to see that come through, and you hit on it pretty well. The offensive line, there's a couple guys way up top that are going to be big hitters. A lot of receivers going to be taken in this draft as well, taken in the first round as well, is going to be huge. I'm really just sort of interested to see if Cincinnati does anything at all tonight, because like we've seen over these last couple days where, you know, T. Higgins requests a trade, Trey Hendrickson, the defensive lineman, also requested a trade. I wonder if they're going to try and maneuver some pieces around there, maybe get an early pick if they can. And, you know, like you were hitting on, I'm really expecting the Vikings to move up because, you know, Sam Darnold, he's done okay, but, I mean, he's not a guy that you really want to be out there throwing to a guy like Justin Jefferson. You want somebody that can elevate his game as much as he elevates everybody else's.
Yeah. All right, so now kind of moving into the specifics of the draft, I think the first big question mark outside of, you know, we all know Caleb Williams going one. The first question mark begins, who do the Commanders take it to? I think it should be Jaden Daniels of where he is right now. Long term, though, I'd probably take Drake May. I think Jaden Daniels is a better prospect right now, but I think Drake May's ceiling is a lot higher. So, you know, it begs the question, you know, do you take the guy that's a little bit better right now, or do you want the guy that could be better long term? But it's a little bit more of a risk, right? You kind of know what you have in Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Drake May, you like the intangibles, you like his size. I mean, 6'4 is a big dude. And you like his ball placement down the field, but he struggles in the kind of intermediate, the 15 yards and below. But I think that stuff is correctable. So I would take Jaden Daniels right now, but I think Drake May has a higher ceiling.
I'm taking Daniels as well. Look at the successful quarterbacks in the NFL. Look at Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and guys like that that are dual threat. I mean, this is modern football. You want a quarterback that can do both, that can get out, stay in the pocket and throw and have good arm talent, but get out, get off script, run, be able to create first downs with his legs, and that's what Jaden Daniels gives you. I'm not saying Drake May wouldn't give you that. I think Drake May has at least decent running ability. I'll get to that in a minute. But I think Daniels gives you, you know, a ton more of that right now, where he is an electric runner and also has good arm talent. Mm-hmm. It's going to make him the more the more attractive pick. more explosive player, at least in terms of what he can do with the football in his hands. And so if I'm Washington, because of that improvisation, I think I probably take Daniels at two as well.
Yeah, I'm also rolling with Daniels here. I think along with, you know, his dual threat ability, which it feels like most systems are sort of moving towards that lane of football on the offensive end in the NFL. I think that's sort of a big draw for him, regardless of, you know, maybe some you know, some big hits that he took in college are a little bit scary, and you know, translating that over to the NFL isn't the biggest thing. But people forget that he's going to be paired with Cliff Kingsbury as his OC in Washington. I think whenever you see what he's been able to do with those top quality quarterbacks, and you throw a guy like Jaden Daniels coming off of a Heisman Trophy run, one of the better seasons we've seen out of a Heisman quarterback in quite some time, I think it only just, you know, makes that such a more clear pick for them. Even if it is, you know, not the longest term, maybe he's not there for 10 years, but I think overall for day one impact, I think Daniels is your guy. I think they're going to be able to move some pieces around him as well. I think it's bar none, you got to go with Daniels there with Kingsbury in house.
So I know I just answered this earlier, but who has the higher ceiling between the two? I think it's Drake May. I think if you just get him in an NFL environment with NFL coaching, you can kind of fix those little minuscule things that he has wrong, especially in the short game passing. So that's what I like about Drake May. I think his ceiling is the higher of the two. What do you say?
See, I went the other way. I said Daniels because it's kind of the same thing. You know, decision-making, especially in the run game, is kind of what people don't like about Jaden Daniels, some of the hits he took in college, putting his body on the line, especially with the smaller frame that he has. You know, that's something I think that can be correctable as well. You have a coach that says, hey, stop doing that. You know, this is the NFL. These guys are bigger. They're going to punish you for making moves like that. That's something you can kind of rein in a little bit as well. But you cannot teach raw athletic talent, you know, the raw athleticism, the explosiveness that he has, especially with his legs. Now, the durability is going to be a question, obviously, with his smaller frame, like I said. But, again, you just can't teach raw athleticism. We talked about it with Joe Milton. You cannot teach raw talent, raw athleticism. That's what Daniels has. Now, May is more pro-ready in terms of frame. He can probably start now and be okay to, because, I mean, 6'4", big frame, great arm talent. He kind of reminds me of Josh Allen. I don't know if that's off base, but good arm talent, good down the field, and can get out and do a little bit with it, just enough with his legs to make you respect it. And seriously, elite arm talent. If he can figure it out in the intermediate short game, he could be very good as well.
I think I would probably also lean a little bit towards Daniels just because of, you know, the more consistent dual threat ability that he has. And, you know, in college, his numbers on, you know, with interceptions and stuff was pretty glaring. Like he really didn't throw as many interceptions as one would think, especially with that high powered, you know, high flying offense that LSU ran with him under Brian Kelly. So I think you match his decision making with, you know, like you said, that raw ability of being able to, you know, outrun folks and make quick decisions and make the deep throws when you need to. I think all of the intangibles are in favor of Jaden Daniels right now, and I think being able to develop in a system, it like wherever you're going to land at the NFL, you're going to get some development with those high quality coaches. I think his ceiling is a little bit higher. I think Drake May, like you said, I think he is pro ready right now. He's going to be a guy that can go out there and get you some wins when you need them. But you know, if you want a high ceiling, if you really want to reach the stars, I think Daniels is your guy.
So three teams are on the verge of injecting an explosive dimension to their offense Thursday night in the first round as a trio of potential superstars wide receivers are expected to fly off the board in a hurry. Ohio State's Marvin Harrison Jr., LSU's Malik Nabers, and Washington's Roma Dunze are viewed as near locks to become top 10 picks, but they're different types of players. There's league-wide intrigue surrounding where they'll land and in which order they'll be selected. So out of the top 10, I kind of highlighted it here, the Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans are kind of the four teams I think are really looking for a receiver in that order. But there are only three, you know. So, and obviously I think, you know, the Giants and Chargers and Titans could use an offensive lineman too. So it's not like they're all taking wide receivers, but all those teams do need wide receiver talent. Yeah. So what should the order of the receivers be? I say it's Harrison, but I think you could make an argument for Malik Nabers. There are a lot of people that love Harrison, but I've seen a lot of people that love Nabers. And really, I think if Marvin Harrison didn't have the name Marvin Harrison, some people might have Malik Nabers over him. Now, I know I know Harrison was great at Ohio State, and I'm not knocking that, but Malik Nabers no scrub either. I mean, the all-time leader in receptions and yards at LSU, that's a really big feat to accomplish. So I'd probably say Harrison, Nabers, Adunze. I know that's the chalk order of the three, but I could see Nabers above Harrison in some scenarios.
It's the same for me, Harrison, Nabers, Adunze. I think that's, you know, like you said, it's chalk. I actually, as a prospect from what I was looking at, I prefer Malik Nabers. And I would not, unlike much of the Arizona Cardinals fan base that I've been gauging the past week, I would not be offended if the Cardinals were to select Malik Nabers at four.
Yeah.
I think he'd be just as good, if not better, pick than Marvin Harrison. I think Marvin Harrison does get some credit for being the son of Marvin Harrison, a Hall of Famer, coming from that pedigree. Now, Harrison's elite at everything he does, and to me, what gets him the number one spot is he does the little things at such an exceptional level.
Yeah.
Elite route runner. He changes the numbers on the coverage on the field. He makes you double him. It opens up other things on the other side. I heard somebody talking about that today. If you could draft him into a system where you could have him get doubled, you change the entire outlook of the defense.
Yeah.
The quintessential franchise-altering receiver, contested catches, second to none. And so I have him at one, but Nabers, he is so explosive. The biggest big play receiver in this draft. I mean, can be that guy to, you know, go get you those explosive plays day one, and could do that for whatever team gets him. Great hands to boot. Again, takes the top off the defense. I give the advantage to Harrison because of contested catches, but I like Nabers. I actually prefer Nabers. And actually, he graded out. Pro Football Focus actually graded him as a better wide receiver than Marvin Harrison this past season. Yeah. And then Rome, contested catches, big frame. Kind of a 1B to Harrison in the contested catch department, and going to be a steal for whoever gets him because he's kind of overlooked being the third best.
Yeah, yeah, I think I probably would take Nabers first if I were in that mix, but it is probably going to go Harrison Jr., Nabers, then Adunze. Like y'all have been hitting on, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is such a, you know, just a high-quality prospect. You know, he does everything correctly and at a very high rate, like you were saying, Dawson, and, you know, that in the namesake, it's really hard to look over whenever you're looking for a franchise guy, which Marvin Harrison Sr. was for the Colts for such a long time. But, you know, what Nabers does bring with that size and speed is ridiculous. His run after catch ability is also crazy. He's great after great breaking tackles. And, you know, he was, I'm pretty sure, for quite some time this year, if not finished the year, as the yards leader in receiving this year in division or in the FBS. So whenever you look at that and with the history of LSU football and him being at the top of the list of receiving yards and receptions as well, I think that makes him just a high quality and a high tier prospect, just because he's walked the walk already, and you know exactly what you're going to get from him. Adunze, like Dawson was saying, very overlooked. I mean, this is a guy that turns 50-50s into 80-20s pretty consistently. I think he can run it up there with Harrison with taking over as a guy that can go get you a 50-50 ball just about at any point. And with his size and frame, he shouldn't be overlooked, especially being projected to be a top 10 guy now.
So one of the questions I raised in the opening of the segment was about the quarterbacks. How many will be taken? I say five. I think it will go Williams, and then Daniels, May, McCarthy, and then your pick of Nix or Penix. How many guys do you think will be taken?
At least four to five is what I had written down. I could see all six of the big six quarterbacks go tonight. Top three picks are all going to be quarterbacks from there. How desperate do you get to move up? It's going to be big. If you see a couple trades in that next four, five, six, seven range, it's probably all six, because I think teams are going to start to get desperate. Go for J.J. McCarthy. Go for Bo Nix. Go for Michael Penix. Such a rich quarterback class. Ton of talent and a ton of teams that need it, and a ton of teams that have yet to take advantage of trying to fix that position. That I could easily see all six going tonight. Yep.
Yeah, I would probably also say five. You know, like you were saying last year, and you know what was such a highly contested quarterback class. You have one slip, and you know most of these mock drafts have all six of these quarterbacks going about top 19, top 20 in this draft. I think one, like you said, is going to slip, and I'm afraid it is going to be either Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Both of them, you know, older guys. Of course, they've got some tenure on them, but both, you know, the last couple years have been so high in production, so I think teams will be willing to go after them early, but I do think one of them slips.
Yeah, I think the Nix-Penix battle will be interesting. You know, Nix transferred from Auburn, became one of the most efficient, or was the most efficient quarterback in college football both years at Oregon. Now, Penix, on the other hand, you know, led one of the nation's top offenses this past year, got Washington, who was severely, in terms of talent, I think there are a lot of teams in college football a lot more talented than Washington, but Michael Penix's ability was able to put them in the national championship game. Both great quarterbacks. I do think one will slide. Wrapping up this segment, who is a guy that may not be bringing in the biggest noise coming into the draft that will make an immediate impact next year? I've got 1A and I got 1B. 1A is Byron Murphy out of Texas. Now, he's making a lot of noise, but he's not one of those. He's not on in a top 15 situation on every mock draft. Some have him going later on, and some of that's just because of fit. But I love Byron Murphy. I think he's a really, really good prospect. Mm. But another guy who hasn't been getting as much noise is Jerzon Newton out of Illinois. And that's a beefy defensive tackle that has a nose for getting in the back end of the backfield. That's a guy that I think can make an immediate impact on any team in the NFL next year. Jerzon Newton's a guy to look out for, and I think he'll be special.
Yeah, Newton is one I had written down as well. Big-time quick move guy in run and passing game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still good at setting up blockers, good at beating the blockers, getting through to the quarterback. Ton of agility, a great mind for the game. He's going to be able to make the right play a lot, and a guy that's going to fall, you know, end of the first round, beginning of the second round, it's really going to be a quality player. And then the other one, kind of a little bit more of a stretch, I went with offensive lineman Zach Frazier from West Virginia, a guy that in a kind of a storm of offensive tackles that's going to go tonight. This guy has really not been talked about. We've talked a lot about, you know, Joe Alt and Fashanu and Troy Fatanu and guys like that, but Frazier, wrestling background, big guy. Able to find that post-snap movement, work those big-time block, good pulling blocker as well, and can play on multiple spots on the line. That guy's been really overlooked. He probably won't go until tomorrow, but he's going to turn into a really quality player as well.
Yeah, I went a little bit more mainstream. I'm going with A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. I think he's, you know, a very high-end receiver. Big body, too, about 6'4", 195. I think if he gets up to about 210, 215, he can be a real stud for any team that he's with. And, I mean, he's so flashy. He's got 4.34 speed. It really felt like he took a backseat this year, too. Xavier Worthy, who put up a 4.21, you know, the fastest 40 we've ever seen. So, but I mean, this is a guy that hauled in, you know, 11 touchdowns this year, was averaging about 17.6 yards per catch. So I think his production is a little bit overlooked because of guys like Worthy in that offense, but I think he's a worthy component to any offense.
Yeah, worthy nice. Is worthy.
Pull to you there.
Nice. Yeah, there are a lot of Mitchells in this draft, too. There's, because I saw someone had, you know, was kind of listing out their top guys for their specific team. And they said Mitchell. And I was like, well, you got Quinyon Mitchell. You got Adonai Mitchell. There are a lot of Mitchells out there. You got to be a little bit more specific than that. But when we come back, we'll give our best bets of the night. Stay right here on Overtime.
Making a better vodka soda ain't rocket science. You just got to start with a better vodka. And then voila, you get a White Claw vodka soda. Your taste buds are about to get a PhD in deliciousness. JB Smooth only drinks vodka soda made with the world's smoothest vodka.
Try the all-new White Claw Vodka Soda. Pick up a variety pack of their four delicious flavors. Only 100 calories, 4.5% alcohol, and 2 grams of sugar. White Claw Vodka Soda. Please drink responsibly.
Are you in need of a smile makeover? Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. And if you're ready to improve your smile, replace teeth that are missing, make your dentures tighter, add implants to your mouth, whatever you may need, we're here to discuss a wide range of easy, pain-free cosmetic and restorative procedures that can create a glowing, radiant smile that you've always dreamed of. Don't wait any longer. The time is now. Call us today at Knoxville Smiles and schedule your appointment at 865-539-1776 or go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Van Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Van Run Radio. You, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, you receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Rev up your savings at Volunteer Auto Group, your one-stop destination for quality vehicles at unbeatable prices. Cruise through their vast selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the flexible financing options that make it easy for you to drive home today. Volunteer Auto Group, where every deal's a winner. 1501 Callahan Drive. Check them out online at volauto.com and tell them Fan Run sent you.
At Wholesale Supply, we're more than just a plumbing, electrical, and HVAC supplier. We're your partners in success. Join our family of customers today and experience the benefits of partnering with us. Enjoy free local delivery so you can focus on what you do best, getting the job done. With wholesale pricing, you'll save big on every purchase. Plus, our fast, friendly support team is here to assist you every step of the way. Our vast selection from top manufacturers ensures you'll find everything you need all under one roof. To find a location near you, visit wholesalesupply.us for more. And remember, Wholesale Supply, open to the public.
At First Bank, we're proud of more than 100 years of financial strength. But on game days, our numbers look even better. When they're lighting up a scoreboard printed on a jersey or in bold type on the sports page. We know there's strength in numbers and nothing stronger than the bonds formed around local teams. And the return on this investment? Neighbors coming together again year after year. Bank where community is number one. First Bank. Bank local. Get more team spirit. Member FDIC. Hey.
Lil CC on that beat. Yeah. I mean, where the f- should I really even start?
All right, back here on Overtime. Time for our best bets of the night. And I'll begin in the association with the Cavs and Magic under 201. I will continue to take this under until they prove me otherwise. Two defensive-minded teams. Orlando playing at home tonight. I think they get it done. I think they win tonight. These teams both struggle to score in high numbers, so I'm going to take the under 201 here once again.
All chalk for me tonight. We'll start with Orlando. Magic minus 2.5 tonight. Orlando's struggling badly in this series, but they return home. It should be a frenzied crowd. The Magic's return to the playoffs this year. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Just like Oklahoma City's young core settled in their first two games, this is probably the moment where Orlando's young core settles into this series in front of their home crowd in their own barn. I like Orlando at minus 2.5.
I'm taking the Knicks plus 5.5 in that matchup against the Sixers. Feels like it's been a battle of the role players so far. We've seen guys like Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo step up big time for the Knicks. Really haven't seen guys like Batum and Tobias Harris step up for the Sixers. And I think that sort of thing continues on tonight. I think it'll be a close finish in Philly. Should be another coin flip finish.
All right, my next best bet, 76ers first quarter minus 1.5. The Sixers team has come out hot in both games so far. In game one, went up 25-18, and game two went up 34-25. Back playing in their home crowd now in Philadelphia tonight. I expect a hot start once again. Philadelphia first quarter minus 1.5.
I took them on the spread for the game, minus 5.5. Chalk a theme tonight. The home teams have been so successful. Sixers have to grab a game in this series. There's no way you keep Embiid and Maxey and company off the board. Great opportunity back in front of their home crowd. They do need to get the role players going. Expect big things tonight from Batum and players like that. Sixers minus 5.5.
My last one tonight, I'm taking the Nuggets money line. I hate to do this, but it's such a heartbreaker on Monday. I hate to take it away from him, but it feels like the door has been shut. You sucked the life out of that Lakers team with that fourth quarter miracle from Jamal Murray. I think the Lakers are too far down. They're not getting the production that they need from their starters outside of D'Lo in game two, AD and LeBron across both games so far. I think the Nuggets close it down tonight.
All right, my best bet in the Lakers-Nuggets game is Lakers money line. I think they get it done tonight back at home. Look, their season's on the line. The Sixers and Lakers both, their season's on the line. They're playing at home. They need to get a win. I think the Lakers get it done tonight. I know the last 10 matchups doesn't say they can get it done tonight, but I really do think they settle in at home and you get more production from Anthony Reeves. Excuse me, not Anthony Reeves, Austin Reeves, and Rui Hachimura. Those guys playing back at home, settle in. Lakers money line.
Lakers, I'll do you one better. Lakers -1.5. The home teams have been very successful in these playoffs so far. L.A. coming off potentially the most demoralizing loss in recent memory after blowing a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. Yep. They desperately need this one. I think you're going to see desperation from the Lakers tonight. I think that loss kind of sticks with you. It's bulletin board material. It fires you up. I think the Lakers will come back, get a big win tonight. They do need the supporting cast, Russell, Reeves, Hachimura, and Gabe Vincent to come in clutch, but I like them. Lakers -1.5.
All right, those are our best bets of the night. Cavs Magic under 201, 76ers -1.5 in the first quarter, and Lakers money line for me.
Magic -2.5, Sixers -5.5, Lakers -1.5.
Now I've got the Knicks +5.5 and the Nuggets money line.
All right, those are our best bets of the night. We'll see you on the other side as we continue to get you ready for the NFL draft, and we'll talk some NBA as well.